Good, great. God is good, amen?
Amen,
amen. All right. Really quick, it's funny, I seen that up there and I said, oh man, I got promoted to pastor. Awesome. Thank you for ordaining me this morning. Not a pastor, but my wife and I do oversee the marriage ministry over at Calvary Chapel of Montebello. We have been there for 16 years. Some of you, I don't know, a couple years ago, you came out and joined us for one of our marriage retreats that we do. Hopefully, I don't know if any of you there? Yeah, you guys were there? Awesome. All right, cool. And you're still married. Great, it worked. All right. Praise God. Woo, we'll have another one next year. So we do come out. We're crazy enough to come out every year. In fact, we come out in August, and I told Sue this morning, we actually changed it to July. She goes, man, you guys are crazy. You're supposed to go the other way. Supposed to go towards September, October, but anyhow, we did come out, and what a blessing to be here with you guys and to see some familiar faces like Sue and Daryl, who last time we were here, we met Daryl, and we were staying over at the Embassy Suites in La Quinta, and the jacuzzi wasn't working, right? And so we were like, oh man, everybody needs a jacuzzi in the middle of August, right? So we're bummed out. And we're talking to Joe about it, and Daryl's there. Daryl's like, hey, you know what? I fix jacuzzis. In fact, I work on that area. So we said, thank you, God. The next morning, he came over, and the jacuzzi was fixed, so we were able to enjoy it. And now here he is leading worship for us this morning. What a blessing. What a blessing to see that, just how God works it out. But thank you guys so much for having us here today. My family and I, thank you so much. Most of my family was able to make it. My wife, Angie, is here in the front. One of my sons, Jeremiah, is here. A little guy, Micah, is probably tearing apart your room over there. Four-year-old. And we have another son, 23-year-old named Zachariah. And then we have a 16-year-old who had to work and stay back home named Abraham. So, yep, Zachariah, Jeremiah, Abraham, and Micah. Right? Just your typical, traditional Mexican names. Right? So, you know, it's what I told my mom when we were naming our kids. Every time she had the same thing, the same look on her face. ¿Qué? ¿Cómo? ¿Qué es eso? You know, but anyhow, it is a blessing to be here. But I met Pastor Joe and Tina about 4 years ago. You know, my wife and I had just started to oversee the marriage ministry. And so we're putting together this marriage retreat. And so I talked to our pastor, Pancho Juarez, and I said, Pancho, you know, we're going out to the desert, man. You know, who can you recommend? He said, listen, I got a guy that's been a friend of mine for over 30 years. His name is Joseph. Not Joe, Joseph, he said. He goes by Joe, but I call him Joseph. He said, and so I'm going to call Joseph and make sure he gets out there. And so he did contact Joe, and Joe came out. We got to meet him, and I remember meeting Joe and Tina for the first time, and they just had that look on their face like, man, I don't think they'd been around 250 Mexicans in a long time. So they had that look like, wow, what am I doing here, man? You know? So, but it was great. You know, Joe knows. Joe's from La Puente originally, so there's a lot of Mexicans there. I think it's just been a while since he's seen that many in one place. But they're a great, great, loving couple. I'm in communication with Joe quite often. You know, I send out a weekly devotion to a bunch of men, and he's one of the guys that receives it, and he's always faithful to always reply. And you know, I send it out to encourage others, and a lot of the times Joe sends back something that just encourages me. And so it's a blessing. Last time we were here, you know, Joe and Tina invited my wife and I out to dinner, and so we went out, and we broke bread, and it was a great time, and we fellowshiped with one another, and the best part about that was that Joe picked up the tab. So, right then and there, Joe made a friend for life. You know, that's the easy way to make us friends for life, just pick up the tab, take us to eat. So, if you want to become our friends for life after service, we'll be more than happy to make new friends with you guys. So, but your church, well, you guys have a heart, you know, and it was a couple years ago at a marriage retreat. As you can see, I'm representing my Calvary Chapel of Palm Desert shirt, right? And it's an interesting story how that happened. A young fellow, I don't know if he's here, but he was there, and I just commented, you know, in the lobby there, we're having breakfast, and I said, hey, man, that's a cool shirt. I really like it. He said, really? I said, yeah. He just took it off. Thankfully, he was wearing another shirt underneath. And he said, here you go. And I said, no way, man, really? He said, yeah, the Spirit just moved, man. Here you go. This is your shirt. So I said, oh, praise God. Thank you so much. So as I look around, I see some Seahawk jerseys. I'm a big Seahawk fan, so I'm praying that that same spirit that moved in that brother to give me the shirt moves in the brother with the Marshawn Lynch jersey over there. So, your spirit, Lord, your spirit. But it is an honor to be here with you guys. You know, Joe and Tina, you know, Joe hit me up. I was on vacation, actually, just, you know, chilling, San Diego, and Joe sends me a text, and I'd send a Devo out, and Joe sends me a text. He says, hey, man, when are you going to come teach in my church? I said, whenever you ask. He said, well, I got some dates in September. So we were able to work it out, and, you know, they're out celebrating their 40th anniversary. Wow, what a blessing. 40 years. Tina's a great woman, I'll tell you. And, you know, I told my wife, I said, hey, they're going out on this cruise. I think it's Nova Scotia. Did I say that right? Yeah. Nova Scotia. And so they're out there on the cruise, and my wife says, man, she's blessed. You know, my wife and I just celebrated 20 years in March of marriage. Amen. So she says, what a blessing to be able to go out to some place like that, you know, for anniversary. And I says, honey, don't worry. I've got it covered. For our 25th anniversary, I already know what I'm going to do. She says, really? I said, yes, 25th and our 50th. I already have it planned. She says, wow, where are we going to go? I said, well, I know you've always wanted to go to Hawaii. So I'm promising you right now that for our 25th anniversary, I'm going to take you to Hawaii. And she says, wow, that's great. You know, praise God. She goes, wow, if you're taking me to Hawaii for our 25th anniversary, what are you doing for our 50th? I said, well, I'm going to go back and pick you up. She's a trooper. But it definitely takes something special to make a marriage work. Amen? Amen? How many of you folks are married here today? All right, cool. Well, as I mentioned, my wife and I do oversee, well, a bunch of you guys, we do oversee that marriage ministry over there. And so we're known as the marriage people. You know, I'm like the marriage guy. And, you know, I've been called a lot worse than the marriage guy. And usually it's from my wife that called me those worst things. But I just seen all the single people go, oh, he's going to talk about marriage. No, I'm not, actually. We're going to talk about one of the things that actually makes you need in marriage, right? It's faith. So we're going to talk about faith this morning. But before I go any further, let's go ahead and pray. And then we'll go ahead and dive into God's Word this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before your mighty throne this morning, dear God. Thank you so much, Lord, for this blessing, for this privilege and honor of being here to serve you, Lord. Father, we just thank you so much for this church that's here this morning, Father. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's in here, Lord, that you would just begin to move your spirit upon each and every one of us, Lord. Father God, that as we open up your word, Father God, you would open up our hearts to receive your word, Lord. And so, Father, may you just move mightily in this place, Lord. May it be you that speaks in and through me, dear God, nothing of myself and everything of you, Lord. We love you, Father. We thank you again for this time in your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to talk about faith this morning. And as I was looking and doing this study, preparing it, you know, I said, man, I don't know what I have to have a title for this thing, you know. Usually I just go out and do marriage events and I just go, hey, we're going to talk about marriage today. Right? So now here we are in front of a church. So I'm like, man, what can I call this? And so as I'm reading, you know, by faith, and I said, okay, I'm just going to, I don't know what I'm going to call it. And I read another verse, and by faith, and I said, okay, I still don't know what I'm going to call it. And I, you know, 16 times after reading by faith, the Lord says, hey, dummy, why don't we just call it by faith? And I said, okay, Lord, let's do that. So the title of the message this morning is by faith. So the first thing we need to do, though, is to establish what exactly faith is. What is faith? If you look in your Bibles in Hebrews chapter 11, if you would turn there. Hebrews chapter 11. And while you're going there, I'll share quickly. Had to show faith this weekend. Friday I just woke up just getting sick. Pretty bad. Yesterday we were here, and man, it was just, I was like, oh, I don't know how I'm going to do this. And I didn't want to tell Joe yesterday, you know. I didn't want to tell him. I didn't want to freak him out on his vacation. Oh, man, you know. So we just prayed and prayed. And I know you guys were praying. I felt those prayers. And so thank you for that. And this morning, man, of course, God's faithful. Right? And I woke up and I just go, man, I feel good. Let's go. Praise God. So I just had faith that he was gonna bring a healing. So, but the first thing, as I said, we need to establish is what exactly is faith, or what is faith. So look at verse 1. Let's read verse 1 together. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it, the elders obtained a good measure. Now, verse 1 says that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Two words that I have found that describe faith very clearly. And if you're taking notes, you can write these down. Certainty and confidence. First, being certain and believing beyond a shadow of a doubt that God is who He says He is. And secondly, being confident in God's promises towards you, towards our lives. That He will do what He says He will do, no matter what it is, or how long it will take to do it. When we first came to the Lord back in 1997, my wife will be proud to tell you that she came first. But when we first came to the Lord in 1997, at that point in July, I had reached rock bottom in my life. See, I had lived a drug-addicted lifestyle for many years. To the point where I had lost my wife. She had finally said, I have enough. It's time for you to go. I had lost my children. We had two boys at the time. And my youngest, Jeremiah, had epilepsy. And so he was having seizures, you know, up to 20 seizures a day. Infantile spasms, this particular type of epilepsy is called. And I wasn't moved. I wasn't touched. I wasn't nothing by that. I was just so into myself, into my life, that none of that mattered. So finally, you know, I had already lost my family. I lost my freedom there for a while, you know, thanks to the Norwalk Sheriff's Department. And I had nothing else. I had rock bottom. And finally, on July 27th, 1997, I said, okay, Lord, this is what you want. You want me, here I am. And so we came to the Lord, and my son Jeremiah was sick, and it was very hard for me to see my son going through that, because you see, what he was doing, he would have these seizures, and he would go into what they call a safety spot, and he would just go, and he would just stare off, and then he would just fall, and then he would get up, and he would just stare off, and he would just fall, and it was just nonstop. And I can remember it clearly as I was doing my study. It came back so clear to me. I remember Jeremiah being at the bottom of the stairs because that was his safety spot. And I remember going, I was a brand new Christian, man. I didn't know anything except to have faith in God. And I was there, and I remember just hitting my knees right there at the bottom of the stairs and just crying out like a wailing cry. And just saying, Lord, Lord, please heal my son. Heal my son. Lord, I have faith in you that you will do it. Now, when I first got saved, I had just started a new job. So 3 months later, we were blessed, and I got medical insurance, which I didn't have before. And so the first thing we did was we made an appointment with a neurologist. And this neurologist, he says, okay, I'm not a pediatric neurologist. He says, you know, but right now, you know, it was Kaiser. He said, Kaiser is very fortunate to have one of the best neurologists, adult and pediatric neurologist in the entire country. And I'm just like, wow. And he says, but he's kind of far. So in my mind, I'm ready to go to New York. I'm packing my bags and, you know, I'm going to some far off country or something, right? And I looked, I said, doctor, for my son, I'll go to the end of the earth. And he says, okay, well, he's in Baldwin Park. Which, Baldwin Park, I don't know if you're familiar, but from where we're at, and we're from Bellflower, but from Baldwin Park, from Bellflower, is about a 30-minute drive with traffic. So I was like, wow, this is great. That's Joe Coleman country, you know, he's from La Puente. And I says, okay, cool. So we go, and we go to this doctor, and we're just praying, and Dr. Mark Chamberlain, and we meet with the doctor. And see, we had gone to several doctors before, and they're just like, oh, no, there's nothing wrong. You know, it's just behavioral. And they had put him on phenobarbital, and he was like on all these drugs. And finally, we get to meet with this doctor, and we tell him everything that's going on. He checks out Jeremiah, and he's like, okay, here's what's wrong with your son. He has this. He has West syndrome. It's a form of epilepsy. And well, he goes over the whole thing, and he's like, and here's how we're going to cure it. He says, we're going to put him on a steroid and some other medication, but we have to do this for 2 years. And so we said, okay, let's do it. And so we put him on the steroid, and, you know, we went through a lot of stuff with that because, you know, the steroid, as you know, blows you up. So we had this little heavy little kid, you know, he's about 2 years old at the time. And so everywhere we go, of course, you know, people are staring. And because, you know, we had this little heavy kid and with acne. He's not even 3 years old. But that was part of the steroid. But we knew that, you know, that was a part of it. And that was a struggle in itself because we'd go to certain places, you know, the mall or whatever, and people would just be staring, you know. And I had to, you know, make sure the cholo and me didn't come out and go after him, you know. Not say anything, you know. And so, for those of you that don't know what a cholo is, God bless you. God bless you. And so, you know, this is going on, and it's working, because now my son's wasn't having seizures after a year. But what it was doing is it was kind of keeping him from growing intellectually. You know, he was just kind of distant. You know, he wasn't able to be a little boy. And so this was really on our hearts, and so my wife and I prayed, and the Lord spoke to both of us and said, medication's working, get him off it, I got this now. I said, really, Lord? He said, yes. So we said, okay. So we go down, we talk to the doctor, we meet with the doctor, and he says, what's up? I said, well, doctor, we just wanted to thank you. You know, God has used you. And thank you for, you know, treating our son, but this was after a year. We said, but we're going to go ahead and take him off the medication now, and we're just going to trust God to take it from here and heal him. And this is a non-believer. And he looks at us and he just says, well, what do you need me for then? And I just kind of said, you know what? We really don't. But thank you. Thank you for treating him for that year. And turns out later on, I come to find out later that same neurologist, Dr. Chamberlain, was the same guy that God used to bring a healing upon our Pastor Pancho's wife, Millie, when she had her brain cancer. And so this guy doesn't know, but God's using him. And we pray. So if you remember, Dr. Mark, just keep him in prayer. So that was our first experience with faith. Faith in God. And I can tell you today, Jeremiah's sitting right there. He hasn't had a seizure since he was 3 years old. He's just turned 20 in August. So praise God. Praise God that he did that. And there he is. Jeremiah is doing a lot of things now. You know, he's in the Special Olympics softball team and winning gold medals all over. And it's a great thing. So it's a blessing. So God moves. And that was our first experience to see, man, hey, there's something to this faith thing. It's working. We're having faith and God is being faithful. And that's just who God is. He's faithful. Man, even when we're not. Amen? Amen? Man, God says in His Word, He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That is a promise, amen. Friends. It is us that leaves and forsakes Him at times. And even then, He's still there, not giving up on us. Now, people love to see examples of something before they give into it, don't they? you love to see it in action, you know, or if you're buying something, you want to try it on. You know, if you're like me, my wife will tell you, I am El Cheapo, right? It is very hard. Me and spending money, we just don't click. And so anytime, it'll take me 6 months to buy a pair of shoes. I'm not kidding you. And you know, I like to see it. I like to try it. I like to see how it works. I'll watch the infomercial. I'll do whatever before I actually give in. Any of you guys like that? All right, yeah. The Seahawk fans, the El Cheapos. All right, of course. So, look at verse 2. He says there, for by it, that being faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So now we are told that it's worked. Faith has worked. It works. Elders, by faith, received a good testimony. So now we see, okay, so there's going to be some examples coming up. Now, look at verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Simply put, Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Do we believe that, church? Yes. We believe that God just created all things. That's the first thing we need to establish here, is to know that He that created the entire universe is the same God that created you and I, and the same God that, man, like last night, for example, out here in the desert, you guys are so blessed. You don't even know how blessed you are. We looked up to the sky and we were able to see stars. We don't get that in LA. We don't get to see too many stars. But last night we looked up, man, and it was a glorious scene. It was, man, there's stars everywhere. I said, wow, the same God that put those stars in their place is the same God that created us. Doesn't that blow your mind? Man, that is so awesome. Last night, just to see that. God created all those things. Everything. From the stars to even those, you know what else will blow your mind? Those little annoying gnats. Right? You guys have those out here? Yes. Those things are everywhere. Right? But if you think about it, God is so great that He even took the time to create those little annoying gnats. And to give them a purpose. You know, I do a lot of baseball umpiring on the side. And to me, I am convinced that the purpose of those gnats is to just get in my eye right in the middle of the game and just come upon me. I don't know what their purpose is, but, you know, they're there and God created them. So, everything God created. So we need to establish. So we believe that today, church? All right. Now, let's get into these examples of faith. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it, being dead, still speaks. Two brothers, Cain and Abel. Both had met with God. Both had communication with God. God had said, this is the sacrifice, this is what I expect. They both knew what the rules were. But yet, only one of them thought enough of God to bring Him his best. Abel loved God. He respected God. He knew who God was. He had a relationship with God. And he said, when I'm going to offer my sacrifice to God, I'm going to give Him the best of the best. Isn't that how we should live, church? Should we give God our best? How many of you would say, yeah, I'm going to give God my best? Amen. And God honored that. Cain, on the other hand, unfortunately was just like a lot of Christians today. Not you guys. Other Calvary Chapels, not you guys. he just got together whatever he could and just said, I'm just going to grab a little bit of this. Got some of my best dirt over here, a couple of plants, you know, maybe some fruit from the ground. Just whatever he can come up with real quick. And he just came and said, here it is. And God knew that that wasn't from his heart. It was just something that he had just put together real quick. You see, church, one of the biggest problems that we have as a church is that we don't always give God what's right. We just kind of give him what's left. And we can't do that. We can't live our lives like that. God doesn't hold back from us. He doesn't just give us whatever he can come up with real quick. He gives us the best that he has. So why then shouldn't we return that to him? We need to give God our best because after all, he gives us his best. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. There are two people mentioned in the Bible that did not taste death, that did not see death. God just took them. First one, the other one was who? Elijah? Okay, you can find that in 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. And the other fellow mentioned is Enoch. There's an old legend about Enoch that he walked with God daily. He'd get up in the mornings, he'd go meet with God, and they'd go take these walks. A little jealous of Enoch. But he got to take these walks. And the old legend goes that one morning, God told Enoch, we're going to walk a little further today. You better pack a lunch. So Enoch packs his lunch and walks with God, and they go a little further and further even more. And even further, further, further than they've ever gone. And Enoch says, well, I'm really far from home. And he says, Lord, it's getting late, really far from my house. Maybe we should start heading back. And the Lord tells Enoch, you know, Enoch, we're a little closer to my house right now. Why don't we just go there? And he took Enoch. I love that story. I don't know if it's true or not, but I just love just to picture that. Walking with God. And that was Enoch. Now, here's one of the greatest statements of faith in the Bible. Pay attention here. If nothing else, remember this. Verse 6. Without faith, it is okay, and you can still please him. Does your Bible say that? No? Does it say, without faith, it is impossible to please him? In fact, say that with me. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Okay, now you've said it. So now you know. Okay, you can't say, oh, I didn't know. Faith, well, I'm supposed to have faith. Sorry, God, I didn't know that. Yes, you did, because at Calvary Chapel Palm Desert, on Sunday, September 20th, that dude from Montebello was there, and you said it with your own lips, that without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. One of the greatest statements. Impossible to please God without faith. You must believe again that he is God and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In other words, believe that God is God. That he will take care of your every need. May not always take care of your every want, right? But he's definitely going to take care of your every need. He knows our needs before we do. His thoughts and our thoughts are not the same, are they? God's word tells us. And his plans are not always our plans. About 4 years ago, my wife and I, we had our three boys. Youngest at the time was 13 years old. And we were already planning our future. We said, man, oh, he's 13, you know. We could see the light at the end of that tunnel. We said, oh man, he's going to be 18. He's going to be gone. You know, one of them will take care of Jeremiah for us. And we're going to go out and we're going to travel. And, you know, I was like, man, we're going to go see the different baseball parks across America. Man, it's going to be great. Finally going to go catch a Seahawks game in Seattle. And then one day my wife just happens to be driving down the street, the old neighborhood we grew up in, Norwalk. And she sees my sister, who I had not seen in almost 7 years. She's drug addicted. She's on Skid Row in Los Angeles. We hadn't seen her since my mom had passed away, you know, at that time, 7 years. So my wife looks at her and she's like, is that her? So the Lord directs my wife to turn around and she comes up and she says, hey, is that you? And she's like, oh yeah, hey, like nothing, right? Guess what? I'm pregnant. Mind you, she's already got a son that's living with my dad. My dad's raising him. And Angie's just like, oh, okay. She's like, yeah, you know, I'm staying clean. I'm not using drugs anymore. You know, I'm good. Everything's great. I'm going to raise this baby. I'm going to be a good mom. And so my wife is like, oh, cool. You know, we're going to pray for you. She gives her our phone numbers and stuff. And about 2 months later, month or two later, get a phone call about 2 o'clock in the morning. It's me. I'm in the hospital. I had the baby early. You know, blah, blah, blah. I'm at USC Medical, and you know, and so I'm just like, all right, I'll pray for you. You know, the next morning, my wife says, hey, I'm going to go see Michelle and the baby. I said, you are? She's like, yep, I'm going to go see Michelle and the baby. I said, okay. All right, tell her I said hi, whatever, you know, I'm going to work. The next morning after that, she says, I'm going to go back to the hospital to see Michelle and the baby. And I said, uh-oh. I don't know where this is heading. See, the baby was born early. It was premature. And he weighed 3 pounds. And he was addicted to cocaine. He was at risk for HIV because my sister has HIV. She has TB. And she has hepatitis C. The baby was at risk for all of this. So he was in the NICU. I think it's like neonatal something. And so she would go see him and she'd come home and she'd be like, oh, oh my gosh, Mario, the baby is so beautiful. And I'm just like, oh no. Oh no. She's like, guess what? I said, what? She said, they're taking the baby away from Michelle. I said, oh. So what does that mean? She goes, well, they said that they want the baby to come with us. I said, no, they don't. No, they don't. She says, yeah, they do. She goes, I want you to pray about it because God's already spoken to me and told me what we're going to do. But you're my husband and I'm respect you and I'm going to submit to whatever you say and whatever you want to do here. And I said, well, I'm telling you right now, it's not going to happen. Get that thought out of your head. We're not getting another baby. We're almost done. I'm not going to start all over. I'm 40 years old. She's like, I'm just telling you to pray about it. So I says, okay. So we pray about it, and I wrestled with God for 2 days over this thing. Finally, I came out like Jacob limping, you know. See, the thing is, when you wrestle with God, He's going to win. Amen? So I said, okay, Lord, this is what you want. We're gonna do it. So we took the baby in. He didn't even have a name. Baby boy was what it was on his birth certificate. And so we went through the whole process, and they brought him home. He had to stay in the hospital for 72 days. Because, you know, the addiction and everything else that he was going through. But it was a blessing because while he was there, they were able to treat him with something called AZT, which is the new medication that fights off the HIV. And so after 72 days, they were able to bring him to our house, and it was perfect timing because, you know, he was born at USC. We're USC fans. He was born at USC Hospital. He happened to come home on a Thursday night when USC was playing. So, I mean, that's how I knew it was from the Lord. So, God has a way of confirming things. Amen? So that's how we knew that he was from the Lord. No, but seriously, so he came home with us, and we began the whole process of adoption. So 2 years ago, they became final. And Micah is a blessing to us. We love him. He is our joy. He just brings a whole new life to our home, and he just completes the family that we thought was already complete. So praise God for that. Not what I wanted, not what I thought I wanted, but God knew that's what we needed. And so praise God for that. Now, let's look at verse 7. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. God told Noah, out in the middle of the desert, he says, I want you to build an ark. Here's what's going to happen. These people are just terrible. I'm going to wipe them out, except for you and your family. So I want you to go ahead and start building this ark. And he gives them instructions on how to build it. So Noah, he could have said, well, really? An ark in the desert? I'm out here like, really? But he didn't do that, did he? He said, okay, I'll do it. Mind you, it hadn't rained in years. But here's God's promising him this great flood that's going to come and wipe everyone out. So it took faith for him to say, okay, Lord, I'll build it. Now keep in mind, it was a little different back then than it is now. Okay, it's not like now, you know, you want to build something, you just drive down to Home Depot, pick up a couple day laborers, come home and get it done, right? Noah couldn't do that. There was no Home Depot. There were no day laborers out there. He had to do it himself. And it wasn't an easy project. Did you know that it took 120 years for this ark to be built? 120 years! Man, that's a long time. I get frustrated after 10 minutes of trying to build something. Call my sons, hey, come take care of this, man. I don't have patience for that. And this whole time, for 120 years, he's building this thing, and people are just coming by and laughing at him, making fun of him, and just saying things, and just doing things. And faithfully, Noah just continued because God had given him a promise, and he was not going to let God down. Amen. And he knew that God was not going to let him down. Didn't matter what the people around him said. You see, some of us, church, we struggle with that. God calls us out to do something, and well, we don't do it because, well, what are they going to think? What are they going to say? What will the neighbors think? What will my coworkers think? I'm not going to pray for my food in front of my coworkers. What are they going to say? Right? So you do the whole, you know, drop the napkin, dear Lord, bless my food in Jesus' name, amen. Right? Prayed for my food. Because you don't want to be ridiculed, you don't want to be looked at differently. Didn't bother Noah. He went forth and he did what God told him to do. Man, that took a lot of faith, but it also took a lot of patience because 120 years, man. And we are impatient people, aren't we, church? Man, we're impatient. Even when we're praying for patience, we're impatient. We're like, Lord, I need patience and I need it right now. Right? Man, we're impatient people. But praise God for guys like Noah that were faithful and patient. And y'all know how that ended. Right? after 120 years, and the people were laughing at him, and finally they bored with all the animals and everything, and the people were probably like, oh, look at that fool up there, and then all of a sudden, drip, drip. I would have loved to be there just to see the look on people's faces when that first drop of rain fell, right? They would have been like, oh, man, help us. Sorry, too late, wiping you out. So that was Noah. Now, let's look at verse 8. We'll read verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Here we read about Abraham, referred to as by many as what? The father of our faith. So if you're going to be called the father of faith, guess what you got to have?
Faith.
Abraham had faith. Every time I read the account of this man Abraham, I'm just blown away. Because here he was, been advanced in age, already established, already had a nice comfortable life at home with his wife. They didn't have any kids, but he was comfortable. He knew where he was. He knew where to go for whatever he needed. But, you know, he had this great relationship with God. And whatever God would call him to do, he would do it. But he had this nice home, and he was comfortable. And God comes to him, and he says, all right, Abraham, pack it up. Time to move. I'm going to send you to a new place. Didn't know where it was. He didn't know where he was going, but he did know who was sending him there. See, a lot of times we have to step out like that. That's faith, church. When God says go, we go. We don't say, why? Are you sure? Just go. Because where God guides, he what? He provides. He takes care of your every need. He knows what he's doing. Abraham trusted him. He said, okay, Lord, you want? I'll go. There's still a lot of Abrahams in this world, believe it or not. In fact, your pastor, you know the story. Joe and Tina. Comfortable life. Serving. Calvary Chapel, Golden Springs, West Covina at the time. In fact, he was serving in the parking lot with our pastor, Pastor Poncho. And he's comfortable. And he's serving. And God says, Joe, I'm going to send you out. I'm sending you to Lake Arrowhead. Beautiful. Poor Joe. You have to go to Lake Arrowhead. Oh, darn. That's like me praying, oh Lord, please don't send me to Hawaii. So he goes. He goes to Lake Arrowhead. And he spends time there. And he gets comfortable there. And what happens? Boom! God says, guess what, Joe? Time to go again. Okay, where am I going? I'm sending you clear across the country to Vermont. Vermont! That's one of those states that you forget it's even a state. Right? So far. So he goes out there, and he's there for 12 years, and he starts up a church out there, and he establishes it. Once again, has his life. He's comfortable. He's like, okay, Lord, this is where you have me. This is where I'm at. This is great. Guess what, Joe? Oh, boy. I'm sending you back to Southern California. Yes, to the desert. No. It's a great place called Palm Desert. Wonderful, cool climate. It'll be just like Vermont and Lake Arrowhead. But they didn't waver. They said, okay. And so they came back out, and here you all are reaping the benefits of Joe and Tina's Abrahamism and being faithful to God's calling. You see, when God calls us to do something, our job again, church, is just to go. Don't question him. Just trust him. God's been doing this a long time, longer than you and I. He's got it down. He knows what he's doing. He's going to take care of you. Now, it is said that behind every good man, there's what? Not just a woman. A great woman. Amen? Amen. Where are the sisters at? Can I get an amen? Amen! Just as Joel has Tina and I have my wife Angie, Abraham had Sarah. When Abraham came, I'm sure, and told Sarah, guess what, honey, I've got great news. We're moving. Where? I don't know. Well, when? Right now. She didn't say, are you sure? I don't know. Got kind of comfortable here. Me and the girls have bridge club every week. Yeah, I don't know. But no, she didn't. She said, okay. See, she knew who Abraham had a relationship with. And that's God. And she knew that if God, she didn't trust in Abraham, she trusted in God. See, and that's how we are. We need to trust God. We need to trust God. You need to trust God that he is speaking to your pastor. And that he's using your pastor. So when Joe comes up and says, hey, church, this is the direction we're moving in. I say, oh man, Joe's really lost. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He's got this guy from Montebello. Dude's not even a pastor. What is this? What's going on here? But you got to have faith that God told Joe. Just like we got to have faith, God told Pancho, our pastor. We don't always agree with what's going on there. But you know what? We know that God's in control. But here's Sarah, not questioning, stood by her man. Again, because she had faith in God. Now let's read verse 11 and 12 here so you can get an idea of what we're talking about. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. So she was told she's going to have a kid, and she's, you know, still a very young 90 at the time. And she kind of laughed about it at first. Yeah, right, Lord, really? I'm 90 years old. What are you talking about? Get out of here. And the Lord said, don't laugh. Don't you laugh. Just watch. Sometimes God tells us to do something and we go, come on, Lord. But he says, just watch. And sure enough, she gave birth to who? Isaac. 13 through 16. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. There was a promise to Abraham from God. He said, in your seed, there's going to be, I'm going to build the whole nation, it's going to be innumerable. And Abraham and Sarah believed in this promise. And he did that. Now they died in faith. They died before they were able to see that. But you and I are reaping the benefits even today. Let's look at verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he also had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. You see another testament of Abraham's great faith. He had Isaac, and the Lord said, "I want you to bring Isaac, and we're going to sacrifice him." Now, keep in mind, Abraham had heard from God that it was through Isaac that his seed was going to grow. But now here's God saying, "Bring Isaac, and I want you to sacrifice him." Now, he had another son, didn't he, that he had without the Lord, Ishmael. He could have said, "What about Ishmael? What if I just take Ishmael? You don't like him anyways." But no. He said, "Okay, you want Isaac? I'll bring Isaac." See, God, he knew God had promised him that through Isaac, so that if he was going to sacrifice Isaac, even though nobody had ever been resurrected from the dead before that, he knew that if God was going to have him kill him, God can resurrect him and bring him back to life. So he went up, said, "Isaac, get your stuff, man. We're going hiking today." And they went up, and right before, you know the story, he was about to sacrifice him, the Lord said, "Okay, stop. I see your faithfulness. I see your faithfulness." Now, let's read. Continue to read on here. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. These guys had faith in everything. Verse 23, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked for the reward. Moses had a great life. He was royalty. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter. He was in. He was prince. He had everything he could want. All he had to do was snap his fingers, and it would be brought to him. But once he found out who he really was, he left that whole life. Once he found out about God, and he got to know God, he left everything behind. Everything. That's what's required. Even of us today. Leave that world behind. What's that old song? The cross before me, the world behind. I have decided to follow Jesus. Amen. Moses did that. He said, "I know I can have everything I want, but I don't want that. I want God. I'm going to follow God. No matter what it takes." He left all that behind. By faith. By faith he did that. Here's another example here. There was a great city called Jericho. Big, double walls all around. One of the greatest armies. God told Joshua, he said, "Hey, I got a great plan. We're going to take that city." He says, "All right, how are we doing this, Lord? What kind of weapons are we going to use? What are you going to give us?" He says, "Here's the plan." Oh, I can't wait to hear this. He says, "Here's the plan. You're going to march around that city 7 times. What? March around 7 times? Really? Then what? Then you're going to give us those weapons, right? We're going to take them out? Nope. That's all it's going to take." Can you imagine when he had to go back and tell the people, "Here's how we're going to take the city. We're marching." They probably looked at him, "This guy's nuts. What's he talking about?" Nevertheless, by faith, they went around. And then the next day they went around again. And then the next day, and the next day, until finally on that seventh day. And when they're doing this, they're being made fun of. Like, you guys are crazy. Really? Really? I think of VeggieTales when I think of this. You know, I always think the little French peas, those of you that have kids, and they're like, oh, right? I always think of that when I think of Jericho. But what happens on that seventh trip, once they make it around, what happens? Boom. Brick falls. Then another brick. Then another. And another. And boom, those walls come down. And they were able to take Jericho. Just because they had faith. Man, sometimes we don't see how God's going to work, but we just got to believe and trust that He is going to work. I'm reminded of the story of the poor old woman who, she didn't have anything, but she had faith in God. And every morning she would come out to her front porch and she would praise God and she would say, Lord, I praise you because I know who you are. And I don't have a whole lot, but I have you, God. And I know that you're going to provide for me and you're going to take care of me. And she would do this every day, and it would bug her neighbor. Because you see, her next door neighbor was an atheist. And he would hate to see her come out every morning. And he knew that she didn't have anything. And one morning she came out and she says, Lord, I don't have any more food. And I'm hungry. But I have faith in you, God, that you're going to provide it. So the atheist comes up with the plan. He says, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to teach this woman that there is no God. So I'm going to go down to the store. I'm going to buy a bunch of groceries. I'm going to put them on her porch. And when she comes out, I'm going to tell her there is no God. I bought those groceries. So sure enough, he does that. So the next morning, she comes out. And she sees all these groceries laid out on her porch. And she says, thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. You're so faithful that you provided me with these groceries. And the neighbor, the atheist, comes out and he says, aha, there is no God, woman. I bought those groceries, not God. I paid for those groceries. There is no God. So the woman looks at him and she says, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. You're so awesome. You're so great, Lord. Not only did you provide me with these groceries, but you had the devil pay for them. That's how God works, guys. 31 through 35. By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe, when she had received the spies with peace. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith, check this out, what they did through faith, subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Powerful, powerful things. Victory over circumstances mentioned there. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. Those are examples of victory in our circumstances. We go through things. Thank God nobody's threatening to saw me in half. Although I could use a little bit off the front here. But they went through tough times. You see, if I stand here and if I say, church, all you have to do is just believe in God and all your problems are going to go away. You're never going to suffer. Nothing wrong is ever going to go in your life. You're going to have the greatest marriage. Your kids are all going to grow up and just praise God all the time. I wouldn't be telling you the truth if I told you that today. You see, we do go through trials, don't we? We do go through tough times. But if we just remember who it is that is with us, and we remember that He who is in us is what? Greater than he who is in the world, then we will have that victory in Christ. Amen? Let's finish it here really quick. And all these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. The promise of the new covenant that they sought after, the salvation through faith. We have that. We have that new covenant. Because you see, what happens when you have faith is that God takes that faith and He begins to use it for His glory. And next thing you know, you got works that go along with your faith. And you're doing things and you're stepping out and you're working and you're doing things that you never thought you could do. Guys, if I tell you, back in 1997, I was a drug addict. I was no good. I was the bottom of the bottom. I never thought that one day I would be up here teaching at Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert. But I trusted God that He was going to do something. And we just step out in faith. And we say, Lord, I'm going to trust You. Sometimes the circumstances may not be what you want. But we have to trust God. John the Baptist, right, he was out there preaching about the coming one. He had faith. And Jesus finally came. And He baptized him. Others had faith. Like Peter, you know, Peter had that kind of faith that was, you know, he was out in the boat, right? Mighty winds, you know, ocean going all crazy. And he said, Lord, if that's You, let me walk out there. And God, and Jesus said, come on. So by faith, what did he do? He got out of the boat and he started walking. But then he made the mistake of looking at his circumstances, where he was. And what happened? He began to sink. And Jesus said, oh, you of little faith. Church, don't look at your circumstances. Don't look at what's around you. Just trust God. Trust God. Believe in Him. He knows what He's doing. I'll close by saying, Romans 1:17 says, the just shall live by faith. Today, church, I say to you, just live by faith. Amen? Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank You so much, Lord, for this time that You gave us together today, Lord. Father, what a blessing and an honor and a privilege to be here amongst Your people. Lord, I pray for each and every person that's here today, Father. Lord, that You would just increase their faith, dear God. And I pray right now, if there are any of you here, and you don't know God, you don't have that relationship with Him, if you're here today, I'm going to ask you to make your first step of faith and give Him your life today. Is there anybody here today that does not know God and you want to get to know Him? You want to come to Christ and receive salvation? Anybody at all? Cool. We're all Christians in this place. Lord, thank You, Father God, for each and every soul. Lord, may we just trust You. May our faith increase as we decrease. We love You, praise You, and we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Calvary Chapel, Palm Desert. Love you guys. Thank you so much for having us.